Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 34th Psalm, if you will. The 34th Psalm, we're going to look beginning in verse 1. And like I say, I encourage you to do everything you can to pray and invite folks to come and be with us Sunday, you know. And if you have to, twist an arm here and there, you know, it's all right if you do that. And do what you need to do, and try your best to get some folks to come to church with you. Be with us on the service this Sunday, all right? All right, I hope you continually pray for our missionaries, all right? They need your prayer on a regular basis, so I hope you'll continue to pray for them and lift them up. I put a new letter out there today from Brother Don Leaf. And so you might swing by and look for that one and read it if you would. By the way, I got a letter this week from Brother Ron Jackson. Brother Jackson is the one that has been going to the Ukraine, if you remember, and witnessing those soldiers. And I kind of wondered, what happened? Well, he went. Because I got a letter and he said, I'm writing this and said, we're in the Ukraine, and it was on April the 7th, so he was there. You pray for them, boy. Situation over there is a terrible situation, you know. They need your prayer, and a lot of things going on. All right, Psalm there, 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to leave off reading right there. Oftentimes we preachers speak a lot, emphasize a lot about the will of God. The will of God's an important thing, all right? I'm completely convinced. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you ought to be interested in the will of God. You ought to be interested in the will of God. If a child of God is not concerned and not interested in what the will of God is for them, then something is desperately wrong, okay? Something's desperately wrong. And of course now, I think sometimes some people are afraid to seek the will of God because they're afraid God will tell them to do something they don't want to do. You know, they're just live in fear of that. He's going to call me to the deep, dark jungles somewhere, you know, and have to live in a mud hut. And, hey, look, I think you really ought not to worry too much about that. But you should be concerned about the will of God, all right? Now, I cannot tell you the specific will of God for you. You say, well, preacher, you tell me. I can't do it, all right? I can talk to you about the general will of God, okay? But the specific will of God is not the same for every believer. Now, that's rather obvious. God does not lead every believer in exactly the same way to exactly the same thing. And it's different, but there's some things that really are almost no-brainers, right? And we could talk about them. Look, it's the will of God for a child of God to be in church. That's the will of God, all right? You cannot make an intelligent argument. Well, I was going to say based on the Word of God, but if it's a Christian argument, it's got to be based on the will in the Word of God. You can't make an argument that says, well, it doesn't matter if we go to church. That's a lie you've listened to from the devil. It's the will of God for you to go to church. Hey, it's the will of God for us to pray. It's the will of God for us to pray, okay? It's the will of God for us to witness to people and try to spread the gospel. Those things are the will of God, and not any doubt about that. It's the will of God for God's people to support God's work. It's his will that we tithe. It's his will that we support missions. That's the will of God for every Christian. If you're saved, that's the will of God for you. So if you haven't figured those things out yet, I've listed that's the will of God for every Christian. It's the will of God for every Christian to read his Bible. That's the will of God, okay? It's just simple and plain. There it is. That is the will of God. But, probably you could have told me every one of those things. If I'd have given you a piece of paper, those are things you'd have listed. Well, I know this is the will of God. I know this is the will of God, all right? Hey, even people don't do it know it's the will of God, all right? Even though they don't practice it, they know, well, I know that's the will of God. I'm not doing it, all right? But the psalmist gives us some things here in our text that I believe it's easy for us to overlook. And I think it's simple things, you know. I'm really thinking about, I've never thought about it up until the last couple of weeks about writing a book. And the reason I've never thought about it is because I think everybody knows everything I know. Nothing to add, nothing new, but you know, it's real simple. But I've found out that through the years as I stop and think, it's the simple things sometimes people don't get, you know. So this thing called the will of God, and there's three things I just want us to look at tonight, okay? They're in these three verses. We'll look at them one by one. I want to encourage you. You know, I'm not going to chew you out, okay? You came the right night. You're not going to get chewed out, okay? But I do want to encourage you. He said, what's the will of God? Look what he said in verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hey, you know what? I think it's real simple. I think it's the will of God for us to praise him. I think it's just the will of God for us to praise him. Look, what should be more natural than that? What would be more natural than us, born-again believers, praising him? And just, you know, hands down. I see people praise people in the world, you know, for all kinds of stuff. Well, what would be more natural than for the Christian to praise the Lord, all right? I mean, right where you are, wherever you are, okay? Some people, I think, seem to think they can only praise the Lord if everything is going just perfect. And if everything's not perfect, then, well, you know, we can't praise him. Well, it doesn't have to be perfect, okay? It just doesn't have to be perfect, all right? We're to praise him whether we're on the peak or we're in prison. All right, we're to praise him. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, all right, well, we got a good example. Go, don't lose your place here. We're coming back. We go to Acts chapter 16, would you? Take a Bible, just flip over there. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know what's going on here in this account. Paul and Silas are been there, and they've been preaching, and they're just going to it, you know, doing what they normally did. And they're in Philippi, and they're preaching and teaching. And so look what happens to them in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. But wait a minute, that's not all they did. We're people, we pray, because we could pray if we was there. We say, Lord, here we are, you can't leave us. But that's not what they did. The Bible said they prayed and sang praises, all right, unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hey, Paul and Silas in prison, things weren't going good, okay? That's not one of them deals where you said, well, boy, I mean, here it is, We're doing well, you know. It's health and wealth gospel, and it's working out all in our favor. No, it wasn't that way. Here they are. They've been beaten. They've been thrown into prison, but here they are, even in that place, beaten and bound, they're still praising God, all right? You say, what do you mean? I mean, you ought to praise God wherever you are, all right? Wherever you are. Wherever you are in life, you ought to praise God. You said, well, I'm struggling. Well, praise him, all right? Praise him. Just praise him. Well, going through some difficulties. Well, you ought to praise him anyway, all right? You ought to praise him anyway. Just rear back and let the Lord know and let everybody else know. Remember, the Bible said the prisoners heard him. They weren't having a quiet time with God, all right? They were having a good time with God. They were praising the Lord, and the prisoners could hear him. That's an encouragement to us. Where we are, we're to praise the Lord, all right? And whatever the circumstances are, whatever the conditions are, just praise him, all right? You may have to do it with a grimace sometimes, but we ought to praise the Lord, all right? It ought to be habitual with us, all right? Just praise Him for what, you know, just wherever you are, but not only wherever you are, but for what you are. For what you are. Just think about it, all right? The world thinks, well, we can rejoice if we're rich. But if not, we just suffering. No. The world thinks, well, if you're healthy. No. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's not a matter of wealth. It's not a matter of health. It's not a matter of fame. None of that. None of that. It's a matter of just praising the Lord. Just praising Him. David, all right? David praised the Lord here in chapter 34, the 34th Psalm. And if your Bible's like mine, it's got a little header there in the Psalm. It says, he wrote this when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Hey, this was not the best time of David's life. This wasn't the best time, okay? He wasn't sitting in the palace as king. All right, he wasn't. He was trying to avoid Saul and trying to avoid getting killed. But, hey, he praised the Lord, and he said, I will bless the Lord, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hey, not just, you say, well, how can you do that? How can you do that? Well, if you'll learn to praise Him for what you are, remember this, you are saved. You are a child of God. Well, you've been born again, all right? You've been born again. You have a relationship with the God of this universe, all right? He is your Father, okay? He is your Father. You can come to Him and know He'll hear your prayer, all right? You're His child. You're His child. What a relationship. You've been saved. Your sins are forgiven. Friend, if nothing else ever happened to you, that's worth praising Him for, okay? That means you're not going to spend an eternity in hell. It's worth just saying, you know what? We'll take a little time and praise the Lord over that. I love the song that we sing from time to time. That verse that says, redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. What a blessing, man. We've been redeemed, okay? We've been redeemed. That's enough, you know, who was it, to make an Episcopalian shout, all right? If an Episcopalian saved, all right? They ought to get excited, boy. I mean, there it is, a good thing. We've been saved. But, hey, not only are we saved, all right? Not only have we been born again, not only that, but I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, going right along with that salvation, okay, is something here that is so good. These verses, every time I read here in 1 Peter chapter 1, it just thrills me. It just a thrill. Peter here's writing, and he says, blessed be the God, that's 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now that's exciting, but the next verse kind of puts the cap on it. Who, now remember, to you, all right, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hey, who are kept by the power of God. So what are you getting at? I mean, you're secure. We can praise Him not only because we're saved, but we can praise Him because we are completely secure, all right? There is security there. We know it. It's taken care of. We're not worried about it. We don't have to go to bed at night and think, boy, did I do something bad enough today to lose my salvation? Have I lost it somewhere along the way? No, and I get up in the morning and I know I'm just as secure as I was when I laid down the night before, all right? Boy, isn't that a blessing to know that? Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, that's worth praising the Lord over, okay? That's worth saying thank you, Lord, and just praising Him, all right? I know your neighbors would think you're crazy if you went through the yard there just clapping your hands and rejoicing. They'd say, man, something going on over there, all right? But, I mean, we ought to praise the Lord, okay? We ought to praise Him. Hey, praise Him. Why? Because of where you are. Wherever you are, doesn't matter where you are, you praise Him. And praise Him because of what you are and what you have, okay? But not only that, would you go back to Psalm 34 and look at that verse 1? There's some words I want you to see. There's actually four words. One is a little phrase, and the other one just that one word. And that little phrase is at all times. And then that next word is continually. Continually. Hey, we ought to praise Him in everything that we have all the time. Okay, in all that we are, just continually, at all times, at all times. Look, we ought not to be singing the songs of the world, okay? We just shouldn't. I'm amazed at people. I watch people, and you get in a restaurant, and they're playing whatever over the intercom, and I watch people and they're mouthing the words. They know all the words. But you get them in church and they don't know the words hardly that Jesus loves me. So I'm thinking, what do you sing at home, man? What is it you're doing, okay? No wonder. Look, if I listen to rock music or rap music or hip-hop or whatever, I wouldn't be a very happy person. I would be thinking, wow, life is tough, you know. If I listened to country music, I would really be a sad individual, all right, because of the theme of everything, all right. You know, when I was a kid, there was some country music that was entertaining, and it was the Wabash Cannonballs, okay, all right. You know, I didn't listen to that and get depressed. But man, so much of it nowadays is just downhill all the way. Good heavens, why do you spend time listening to that kind of stuff when you could be listening to something that would lift you up and help you to be at all times praising God, continually praising Him, instead of running around with your lip dragging the ground and how bad life is, all right? Man alive. I had a little boy today. He came to school and he had a little minor problem. He didn't do anything, but it's something that his mom didn't do, at least he said. And so he's trying to throw a fit, and I just said, hey, come over here, sit down. And I began to talk to him. I said, now, if you want to, you can ruin your day, all right? This can be a real lousy day. I mean, there wasn't hardly anybody else at school, and he was there, and I said, you know, you can let this ruin your day if you want to, but you don't have to. You don't have to, all right? Hey, I don't care what's going on, man. It's time to praise the Lord. The psalmist David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's going to be a regular thing. Hey, folks, it's the will of God for us to praise the Lord. It's the will of God. Look at verse 2. Look at Psalm 34. Look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hey, I tell you this. I believe it's God's will that we'd make our boast in the Lord. I get so tired today hearing people brag about themselves. Man, I get fed up with it, all right? The truth of the matter is, in and of ourselves, I don't think we have anything to glory in. We don't have anything to boast about, all right? Here we are, we're just, you know, dirt balls that God has saved, all right? Hey, nothing for us to brag about. Yeah, but look what I can do. You couldn't get out of bed if the Lord didn't help you. You just couldn't do it. I mean, come on. We think we've got it, but we don't, all right? Hey, it's not my ability. It's not my ability. It's not my intellect. It's sure not my looks, all right? It's not my talent. I don't want you to look at them, but would you just look at my Lord? Would you just look at Him? Don't look at me, look at Him. I don't stand here to preach on me. I don't stand here to try to get you to follow me. I'm here to try to get you to follow the Lord, okay? To follow Him. To walk in the way He would have you to walk. Look, I've got nothing to boast of. You and I, we have nothing to boast of, all right? Yes, I'm thrilled when God will use us just for any little thing. What a blessing it is. If God will use us for anything, that is a wonderful thing. But it doesn't give us the right to boast. I tell you, I think about that old Sunday school course I learned when I was a little kid. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Hey, yep, He's wonderful. We ought to truly be able to say, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. You know, the songwriter said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. There, I really question most people today would probably rather have the silver and gold. But I tell you what, how much better it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ, to have Him. Hey, I'd rather spend my time telling you who He is and what He can do and what He has done. That's what our boast ought to be. Man, that ought to be our boast. We ought to make our boast in the Lord, not in man, not in self, but in the Lord. What He's done, what He supplied, okay? What He took care of. What we just finished a fundraiser at school. We have one a year, and we finished it this week. I'll tell you what, God was so good, it went above and beyond anything I hoped for, all right? Just way beyond anything I hoped for. And I realized, hey, God took care of that. God took care of that. It's not man, and I thank the Lord for it. But if I'm on boast, I'd rather be bragging about Him, okay? I'd rather be bragging about Him. Like I say, get so tired of seeing people pump their chest and beat their own, you know, and say, here's how good I am and everything. Wait a minute. Look back at verse 2, would you? Did you look at verse 2 there again? Notice what it says. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Hey, okay, fine. But wait, notice what will happen. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Be glad. Can I ask you this? When's the last time you saw somebody that was really glad somebody else was bragging about how great they were? Doesn't make a humble person glad. Now, it may make their adoring fans skip a beat, you know, but it doesn't make the humble person glad. But if you and I had learned to make our boast in the Lord, and we'd learn to brag on Him, we'd learn to give the credit to Him, we'd learn to point people to Him and tell people how great He is. It's not how great I am, but it's how great He is. Everything directed to Him, all right? We'd just see that. What a blessing it would be and how good it would be and how it would affect other people. Other people. You know, you can't help but wonder how many people get turned off because of Christians talking about themselves rather than talking about the Lord. And giving Him the credit for what happens. Just putting it at His feet. Putting it there with Him. Look again at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Hey, this is what I can do. This is what you can do. You with me? That's what the psalmist is saying. He said, this is one I can do it, and you can do it. All right, we can do that. There's no reason we can't. You say, well, I haven't never been to Bible college. I can't praise the Lord. You got to be kidding. All right. Now, nobody would say that, okay, but people use every other excuse in the world for not being able to do things. Well, I haven't been a Christian that long. How long you got to be a Christian, okay? How long you got to be a Christian? And I don't know about you, but I don't have to eat 15 meals to praise the cook. You with me? that one meal's good, we can praise the cook. And the Lord's already said to us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, if you just, all you got to do is one time and you see he's good, you can praise him, okay? So that's something I can do. That's something you can do. We ought to do. I believe it's the will of God for us to do those things. But then I want you to look at verse 3. Verse 3 is just a little bit different, all right? Verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hey, this is not just an I and you thing. When we get here, this is a we thing. This is a we thing. We get together on it, all right? We're to work together. Hey, there's some things where we need help if we're going to do it right. There's some things we just need some help if we're going to do it right. And this is true right here, according to the Word of God, is true when it comes to magnifying and exalting the Lord. We'll always do it better together than by ourselves. Right? You say, well, I can magnify him. Yeah, you can, but wait a minute. If you get some help, you can do it better. You get some help, you can do it better. I mean, it's just easier to do that. You see, together, if you'd let me put it this way, we can harmonize. We can harmonize. Most people cannot harmonize with themselves. Even truly good singers. Now, I read the biography of Fred Lowry. Fred Lowry was known as the Blind Whistler. And the title of his biography was Whistling in the Dark. Okay, he was blind, but he had an amazing ability to whistle. By the way, you can go on YouTube, look him up, and you can hear him whistle, all right? And he had the ability to whistle two notes at the same time. Now, I don't know how he did it, okay? I whistle a lot, but I never try to whistle two notes at once, okay? But he had that ability. Now, you and I, we can't harmonize on our own. But if we can get together, we can harmonize. We can harmonize. It's no secret. Hey, I like a good solo. I do. I like to hear somebody sing good solo. Little Bill Kingston was 4'4" tall. A man, God gave him the voice that you would expect to hear out of a 7-foot-tall man. Old Bill Kingston could really sing. Loved to hear him sing Ship Ahoy. Man, he could get it done. But I really love four-part harmony. I like to hear four people get together, and you can get all the blend of all those parts together. Love that kind of singing. But you can't do it by yourself. Okay? You can't do it by yourself. You need some help. Hey, the Lord fixed it that way. The Lord fixed it that way. I love that four-part harmony. I love quartet singing. But I'll tell you something else that's even more amazing. When you get a crowd together, and they'll all lift their voices together and sing, nothing like it. Nothing like it. Take your Bible over to Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 15, would you? The Bible says there's going to be a choir one day in heaven, all right? Revelation chapter 15. If you would, look at verse 1 here, all right? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, he said, I saw them stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Hey, there's a host of folks that are going to be there one day that have gotten the victory, the Bible says, over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. And they're going to stand there on that sea, looked like a sea of glass. And the Bible said they're going to accompany themselves on harps, okay? And that great host is going to sing. And let me tell you what, if you get a great host of people that can really sing and they'll put it out, man, it's tremendous. It is just tremendous. When my brother was in college, he was in the college choir and our chorus, I don't know. But they sang two specials every year, two big oratorios or whatever that word is, okay. One of them was the Messiah, and it was okay, but the one I liked the most was Seven Last Words, okay? And it was around Easter time. And man, that choir would work and work and practice, and I'd go to hear it, and boy, it was outstanding. All those voices. But I'll tell you what, you say, well, I don't have a trained voice. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you, you want some good singing, and you're going to think, preacher, you're crazy. But I remember the day we had Dad's funeral. The day we had Dad's funeral, this building was packed. And we sang some hymns. Songs that my dad loved, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. We sang that. We sang Living by Faith. And when we encouraged everybody now, basically, forget you're at a funeral and just sing and be happy, all right? And man, you talk about, oh, did it sound good? Why? People lifting up their voices together, putting it together to bless the Lord and to exalt Him. Man, that is a marvelous thing. Folks, I want to tell you that's why when we come to church every service, we ought to sing. Why? Praise Him. To praise Him. People who come in that are visitors. People that come in who are visitors are not used to that kind of singing. They're used to, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let's keep silence before Him. Or the doxology, you know. There's nothing wrong with the doxology if you get after it, okay? But man, we can do that better together. Together. Even those discordant voices, those voices that are not hitting perfect pitch, right on that note. Now, it doesn't matter. Boy, we all lift up our voice and magnify the Lord. Oh, my soul, what a job we do. Hey, we can harmonize together. We can exalt Him together. Tell you something else, together we can make a bigger blaze. You say, what do you mean? I mean this. Remember, the Bible says to us, let your light shine. Let your light shine. If you get one flashlight in the dark, way over there, it's a blessing. If you can just see that light. But if you get a bunch of those little lights put together, they make a pretty good size light. Hey, you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to labor together. We're supposed to labor together. We're to put our lights together and together, all right? An individual light, oh yeah, it helps. But man, when they're put together, that blaze will shine brighter and it'll shine farther. It'll shine farther if we can just get them all together, all right? Some lights are a little feeble. Some aren't shining real bright. Others, you know, they got a pretty good glow, but you get them all together, it helps. It helps. So what's the purpose? To exalt the Lord. Not to brag on any one little light, but to exalt Him. We put our lights together to exalt Him. Hey, we do that. That's one thing a church does that'll get together and serve God together and live for the Lord together. If we'll do that, it puts out a good testimony in the neighborhood and in the area, and people see it, all right? Now, just one, they won't see it as much. But if you can get them all together, if you can get them all together, all right? Oh, how much better it'll do, all right? Boy, just to get together and just to let that light shine. Man, how we ought to labor together to magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ for everybody to see. We ought to never be ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed to do it. Hey, let's get after it, all right? Just get after it. You say, well, have been. Good. Keep it up. Maybe work at it even more, all right? Work at it even more. Look for opportunities, all right? Look for opportunities to brag on the Lord. Look for opportunities to do that. Tell people what he's done for you. Just tell people what he's done for you. How he's blessed, how he's kept you. All right? Just let them know. Look for those opportunities. Hey, I'll tell you this, though, all right? We'll never do very much together if we let personalities and petty things divide us. And that happens in so many churches. They let personalities and they let petty things come along and it divides them. Hey, when you get it scattered, all of you know if you've got a fire, you got a campfire, and you want to put it out and you don't have water, well, one thing you do is you scatter it. You scatter those coals, because those coals out there, little things glowing by themselves, they'll soon go out. But when they stay together, it keeps fire going. Hey, the devil loves to divide and conquer. He loves to do that. He said, preacher, what's going on? I don't know about nothing that I know of, but I don't want it to get started. It's called prevention, okay? Don't let something come along. You know, you get a little bit irked at somebody else. They did something and it rubbed you the wrong way. All right? Hell, what? I think Sam Jones said, if I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, just turn the cat around. All right? And so maybe that's what you need to do. Turn yourself around. I don't know. But let's not let little things like that come up and cause division. All right? Little disagreements. You know, and say, well, those people, they brought big eggs, and I just brought regular size eggs. They trying to get all the glory. Don't let that get going. Hey, man, the devil uses. You said he'd never use. Oh, you'd be amazed at what the devil's used. You'd be amazed. Don't let it happen to us, all right? Hey, let's stay faithful. Let's show up to work together. Hey, I can praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord. I can make my boast in the Lord. You can make your boast in the Lord. You can brag on him. But together, we can magnify him. And together, we can exalt his name. God, help us to do it. Let's just do it, okay? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us see this very simple truth here in the Word of God. And Lord, it's these little simple things that sometimes we overlook and we think, well, it doesn't matter, but it does, Lord, and help us to be concerned about it. Help us to do our best, to do our part, Lord, to always praise you, to always brag on you and what you've done and not what we've done. We realize, Lord, we couldn't do anything without you. And Lord, then help us to work together to exalt you, to magnify your name above all the others, and show the world, Lord, that your name is above every name. Help us to do your will faithfully. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.